Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today, my guest is Erwan Davon, a relationship expert who has taught over 12,000 singles and couples how to have successful relationships. He's been teaching for over 25 years, and he's the founder of the San Francisco-based Erwan Davon Teachings. Together with his wife, Alicia, they've been supporting singles to get into passionate and successful relationships and helping couples reach new heights in romance and intimacy. So welcome to the show, Erwan.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So tell us your story. How did you become a relationship expert and get into the space?
I became a relationship expert originally by not being a relationship expert, by being born into a family where the relationship dynamics were atrocious. They were terrible. My parents immigrated from Paris, and their relationship was on the rocks before they got here. They got divorced. My mother split when I was seven. My dad was a street brawler, usually getting into fights with multiple people. His nose is totally twisted from all the fights and all the craziness. I was in psychoanalysis at 15 years old for 5 years, multiple days a week, because basically my ability to relate was so poor. Getting into all kinds of fights in school, just all kinds of craziness. And the psychoanalysis worked. And then I studied psychology at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Coming from New York to Santa Cruz, then came up to San Francisco, did every workshop I could possibly do, ended up teaching for the world's largest transformational organization for 7 years, got involved in a couple of sex cults, started a couple of sex cults, and, one day said, okay, I'm going to hang my own name on the enterprise. And, that happened right after I was at a cafe, and I took out a piece of paper and I just started writing down what I was the most interested in, like a list, like a free write. And I had my eyes closed, and the first thing I wrote down was women. And I just said, all right, I'm going to put everything I've learned in that direction.
Nice. I've got a couple questions. The first is, I used to be involved with Landmark, so I'm curious if that's the organization you were talking about.
I know there's before it was Landmark, yeah.
Okay, so Est, right? Before it was Landmark?
Got it.
And the first, actually, I used to work for a dating coaching company out of San Francisco called Pickup 101. Way back in the day. And that's kind of what led me into this. And then they had a program spinoff. I think it wasn't their program, but a lot of the instructors went to something called the Authentic Man program, which is based out of San Francisco as well. So I'm just curious if you're familiar with either of those.
Yeah. The folks who started the Authentic Man program were my students originally, as were the folks who started One Taste. And that's my ex-girlfriend, actually. I had to separate from her early on because some of her business practices weren't so good. And I'm kind of glad I did, actually. I hate to say that, but I am glad I did. But yeah, you're bringing me back to the early days.
Yeah, that's a small world. And definitely heard of One Taste, of course. And that's cool. So you're kind of like the founding father of a lot of that stuff, that kind of, spiritual personal growth community in San Francisco, it sounds. So
thank you.
Yeah, very cool. So obviously you focused on women, and a lot of the guys who tune into this podcast are, of course, here because they want to improve with women. They struggle, either to get dates or to find someone they're really interested in. How did you kind of figure it out? And, how do you attract someone if you're a single guy?
Well, the first thing to understand that I think is sometimes not understood in the pickup community is that the women are the ones holding the power. It really is like, really for all mammal species, female selection is really how it operates. And it's good to understand that power and really respect that power. And then when a guy kind of gets that, can I curse in this podcast or is it like PG? All right. So, you know, as guys, we're pussy whipped. That's it. That's the bottom line. And in the pickup community, there's sometimes a lot of like trying to sort of like, I don't know, be you know, it's a little demeaning of women. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but when a guy really gets that, well, then he's got a couple of choices. You know, he can really find out what she wants and give it to her, in which case he's going to be a knight, like a knight in shining armor and a hero. Or, you know, he cannot, and he's going to be more like somebody dragged behind the horse, you know, through town. And it's kind of good to get that, you know, and when you get that, you know, I don't know, a character we probably all know, somebody like James Bond, right? You know, so James Bond is a guy who's really, if there's a woman in the room, he's got his attention on her. He's giving her what she wants, which is attention. And he's bold about it. You know, he's honest about it. He's bold about it. He's not a gorilla in there. He's not being avoidant, pretending he's not interested. He's not playing some kind of game. He's just attuned to her. He's just present to her. He's really experiencing her. So, you know, when I say pussy whipped, I don't mean like a doormat. You know, I'm a pretty masculine guy, strong guy, all the rest of that. You know, my sex life's been awesome, is awesome, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's really good to understand that power that they have, because the sexual impulse originates in their bodies. You know, they start that whole thing rolling. And it's when she's a yes, that's when things really start moving. So, you know, how to have somebody be a yes is ultimately to give them what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a very, very important thing to understand. And, you know, romance and sex, extended orgasm is our specialty. That's what started the whole one taste thing and all the rest of that. Although, again, I separated way before, you know, it got into any of its craziness. You know, when that's really understood, like James Bond, I hate to use sort of juvenile character or something, but, you know, kind of makes sense.
No, he's I talk about him a lot. He's an archetype of what women want.
Yeah, good, great, great, perfect. Thank you. So what was I saying? I forgot.
Oh, you're talking about basically to attract the women, you have to give them what they want.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you really, you know, they're really making that choice. And when you really understand that and you can kind of deal with that power, there's a lot of things that you can do. And, you know, sex, and I don't mean sex like intercourse. I mean sex like flirtation, romance, intercourse, stroking, orgasm, like all of that. That is number one on their list. They are sex maniacs. They are super duper crazy about that. They're really, really into that. So, you know, being good, James Bond is a good example for this, being good at romance, being good at that game, being good at flirtation, is really giving a woman what she wants. And one of the things women want is they want strong guys. They want guys who know how to flirt. They want a guy who knows, you know, that her clitoris is equivalent to the head of a guy's cock. In most sex acts, a woman's clitoris gets 10%, if she's lucky, of the amount of attention that a guy's cock gets. So, you know, they have a foot on the brake and a foot on the gas. And, you know, a guy's job is like to get that foot off the brake. And it's really not going to happen by conning her. It's not going to happen by any of that kind of stuff. It's really going to happen by finding out what she wants. So that's that's sort of, I would say, the underlying principle. But the place where guys screwed up the most is they don't get on the court. You know, you're probably really good at encouraging guys to get on the court, and that's really important. The number one mistake that guys make is they don't socialize enough. Because before I knew any of this, I did know one thing, like go out and go to parties. I did that whole macro momentum thing. I made an offer to a woman every day for a really long period of time. And like, I got humiliated and shot down and destroyed and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But like, you know, I learned who has the power. I learned what they want. I learned that they wanted a a strong me, but also a smooth me. I learned that that was really a natural me, you know? So, you know, I would say to just kind of boil it down to a couple of tips, you know, socialize a lot. Like, that's very, very important. It's a boring thing to say. It's a simple thing to say, but it's probably the most important thing to do. And then after that, find out what, you know, the women that you're relating to want. I used to use Microsoft Outlook. I'm an Apple guy now, but, you know, when I met my wife many years later, I was in this practice and I had a contact file for her and all the things she wanted, a set of kitchen knives, and she liked, you know, mixed tapes. This is way back when, you know, so I'm like making all these mixed tapes and like buying kitchen knives and all the rest of this kind of stuff, you know, and, you know, it's a good woman will really appreciate that.
Did you, how long did you kind of spend in like the single, I don't want to call it a player phase, but do you think that's important for guys to spend a lot of time single, getting to understand themselves, being with a lot of women, understanding women before they get into a relationship?
You know, I would say generally, yes, not as a rule, but generally, yes, because when people jump into relationship and they don't have relationship skills, the relationship is probably not going to succeed. And relationship skills have a lot to do with fun and flirting and sexuality and going out and having a good time, especially in the beginning of a relationship. But as a relationship progresses, they need, what most people do is they progress in a relationship, they get into the middle game or, and then they get married or whatever, but they're, you know, they don't necessarily have those skills of showing her a good time and orgasm and, you know, going out and all the rest of this kind of stuff, you know, and then the relationship just dries up.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens to most relationships. After the honeymoon period, it ends, whether that honeymoon period is, you know, a week or a month or a year or 3 years or whatever, or after they get married or after they have a kid or two. So to avoid that, it's really good for a guy to know himself, to know how to date, to know what women want, to be comfortable with that, to really keep the relationship polarized, to keep it to keep that masculine feminine dynamic very strong.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge problem. You know, what if a couple has lost their kind of like their mojo, or that honeymoon period's over? What can they do anything to get it back? Even if the sex life is good, but you know, that, as you said, the honeymoon phase is over, that infatuation, that excitement, sex becomes more routine per se, or at least becomes more, not as much of a novelty anymore. So yeah. What can you do to avoid that, I guess?
Yeah. We build it back up from the bottom. And when we work with couples, that's probably the biggest thing we work with when we work with a couple. So we have a set of touching practices, you know, simple stuff like hands on heart, hand on abdomen, one person sitting up, one person laying down, a person sitting up is putting their hand on the heart and the abdomen. Then, you know, we call that deep touch. And then light touch is like hands above the body. It's kind of like Reiki, and then all different kinds of touches, which get the people connected, get the couple connected. They also, by virtue of the roles, one person's laying down, one person's sitting up, cause and effect, all of that, you know, it starts to get the thing polarized. So once they're kind of, and then a pleasurable touch and a touch that's exciting and turns the person on, then we head them towards the genitals, the woman first, always. And really, until the guy can stroke her in a way to keep her in a state of extended orgasm. I'm kind of fast forwarding there. But once a person understands that orgasm is simply the body being at a very heightened level of sensation and relaxed at the same time, the genitals will involuntarily contract. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the sort of bottom line on how to sustain extended orgasm. So, you know, once a man can do that for a woman, the turn on comes back. She's just ravenously interested in him. You know, my wife and I do that every morning. Our sex life is better now. Yeah, we got together in 2003. It's almost 20 years ago. You know, our sex life is better now than it was in the beginning. And in the beginning, it was off the hook. It was crazy. It was wild, all the rest of that kind of stuff. but it's better now. And we practice that virtually every day. We have a kid like that. So we build it back up for actual practices, touching and orgasm and sexual positions and all, you know, all the rest of that.
Got it. So it sounds like it's like something almost in your routine, but
yeah.
Yeah. And do you find that's important to have, you know, to make time? Because you hear a lot of couples that when it stops being new and exciting, they just no longer make time for it. And then it just becomes less and less frequent.
I really love that question, Robbie. I think it's of paramount importance to submit one's life, to subjugate one's life to what's really important. That's the first or the second thing I do every day. So, you know, depending on when my wife gets up, I meditate and we do our extended orgasm practice. You know, and, you know, I have to sacrifice other things, you know, to do that. And I do those first thing in the day. And then the day has a beautiful light to it, a beautiful openness to it in the sex center, in the heart center, in the mind, in the body. And the reason I love that question, Robbie, is because nowadays it's more difficult. We call it lifestyle design.
Yeah.
People are getting their asses kicked by technology. Technology can be your servant, or it can just dominate you and distract you, and you're pulled all over the place, and there's no time for anything, and work has like invaded the living room, and you know, it's just, you know, like that. So it's really, really important to have one's priorities and one's schedule match what's really important. Like, if you know, for all your listeners, you know, I recommend for them to look in your schedule and see, is that the life you want to live? And if it's not, and you need the money because work is dominating or this or that or whatever, like, okay, you know, that's fine. But just to then at least acknowledge the problem. You may not have a solution to it, because lifestyle design is one of the most challenging things for people. But if there is a problem with that, which there is for most people, to acknowledge the problem. Oh, wait a minute. Like, I don't have somebody to do this with in the morning, or I don't have the time in the morning, or that, you know, like, okay, let me at least, you know, state that. And when you confront the problem, you know, back in the S days, we used to call it a breakdown. When you confront a breakdown, just admit, like, okay, there's a breakdown. You don't make it wrong. You don't attack it, all the rest of that. Like, you know, providence moves too. Like, you know, spirit moves too. Something, you know, something usually comes along and helps you out if you're honest enough about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most people are doing. And what I try to avoid getting sucked into is, you know, first thing you do when you wake up is you roll over and you check your phone. And I used to make it a practice to meditate every morning. And then I found after about a year and a half of consistent meditation, I actually stopped doing it when I started dating my current girlfriend. We've been together about a year. So one question I had for you, and first, it's, I love that morning routine. Like, how it's, you know, the odds of you having a bad day after meditating and, you know, sexual intimacy with your wife that's a lot less likely versus, you know, seeing a text from, you know, some worse, right? So in terms of your meditation practice, can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, how long do you typically do it? Anything that you do in particular?
Yeah, I do it for half an hour in the morning, and I do Zazen or Zen meditation, which is non-doing meditation, which is basically sitting there and just being and not doing anything. That part is not difficult because you're not doing anything. Where meditation is difficult for people is prior to meditation, there's a certain, there's a couple of things that are necessary. One is there needs to be enough embodiment in the bodiness, like yoga is really good for that, so that the person can sit relatively comfortably for whatever the length of time is. Otherwise, you're just going to be kind of fidgeting and all the rest of that. So that's important. And people shouldn't be afraid to use a chair if they need that, or, you know, whatever is necessary so they can sit comfortably. And then the second thing, maybe even the bigger thing, is concentration. Concentration is a prerequisite to meditation. Non-doing meditation, or to kind of explain it more clearly, meditation is really just being open to your experience, being awake. That's all it really is. You're not trying to be calm. You're not trying to get enlightened. You're not trying to feel good. Mantra stuff is fine, but that's not meditation. You know, focusing on the breath is fine. That's good. That's a concentration practice. It's actually excellent, but it's not meditation. So there, one needs to develop concentration first. And we find the best place, we have all of our students meditate every day. And we find that the best place to concentrate is on the body, often the belly center, because it'll ground one, it'll relax the body, it'll create that embodied experience, and it'll focus the mind. Because, you know, we all know when we're meditating, you know, we think about those texts. It's not like when I'm meditating, nothing goes through my mind, you know, like all those things pop up, but the concentration just has me not, you know, subscribe to those thoughts.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. It's inspiring me to start adding it back into that morning routine.
And, in 20 years, you know, you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, for sure. What about, you know, a successful relationship? What do you find are the secrets to that? Of course, a healthy sex life. But what else do you see? What sort of problems do you see with the couples you work with? And what do you guys do
stuff out? Yeah, yeah. The number one difference maker for a healthy relationship, and it's so obvious that whenever we say this to people are like, yeah, that's obvious. But, you know, as human beings, we often miss it. We often don't use it as a qualifier for ourselves or a prospective partner. So the number one character trait that a person has, or that each person in a relationship has, to make them a good potential for a long-term relationship or a good couple, is that they're interested and engaged in growth and development romantically.
Okay.
Right? Like if you're interested in business, the number one indicator of somebody who's successful in business is they're interested in growing their business. They're learning and stuff. You know, it's like obvious, or it's like who's buried in Grant's tomb. But we usually evaluate.
Like when you're in a relationship, it's almost like, you know, you're in the relationship and then it's just supposed to be good. That relationship is supposed to like serve you, but you forget you actually have to work on it. Just like, as you say, you have to grow the business. You got to grow the relationship. So, yeah.
And it's arguably a lot more challenging than business, pretty challenging, but relationship, like, you know, like for me, I had to deal with my past and my mother and my father. Every day I have to deal with those voices in my head and all the rest of that kind of stuff. You know, we usually qualify a person for a relationship based on, you know, how turned on are we initially, or how tall are they, or what's their bank account, or, you know, do we have common interests? Like, yeah, those are valid things. You know, I'm not saying they're not valid things, but like, you know, if the person is willing to grow and develop romantically and are engaged in that kind of stuff, when it gets difficult, you can sort it out, and it will get difficult.
Sure. So what about working together? Because you work with your wife, you guys have a business together. Do you find that couples struggle with that? Or do you have any tips on how to successfully navigate that?
Yeah, if you can avoid it, don't do it. You know, it puts it's a whole other domain of life. And it's very, very challenging to do. It's kind of like some people have open relationships. We're not against that. You know, we have a lot of students who have that, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, that can work, but it's very, very challenging to do. And until a relationship is successfully monogamous and there's what we think is extended orgasm and the sex is just off the charts, people have no business opening up a relationship, because it's basically going to destroy the relationship if the relationship isn't just rocking on all cylinders. Working with your partner is kind of the same way, you know, because it's going to bring up a whole other set of issues, you know, the survival instinct and money and all kinds of stuff. So the first thing I would recommend is avoiding it. If you can't avoid it, have the romance be first, prioritized above the work business part of the relationship. And then what my wife and I do, and we figured this out a while ago, and it's just worked like a charm, is we don't have any business meetings. You know, we relate incredibly. We teach together beautifully. We're almost always teaching together. It's an anomaly for me to be talking to someone like just me, unless it's an individual student, like a coaching session. Whenever it's group work or, you know, we're always teaching together. But business meetings just didn't work, you know, like it just, you know, because I'd been doing this longer than she has. So like I kind of, you know, it was, she wanted me to be in charge and kind of steer things, but like, you know, I didn't really want to steer her that way. It just felt kind of weird. And then sometimes she'd have a reaction and sometimes I'd be a jerk about it and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So what we did is we took all the business meetings out and we do all of that stuff by email. So there's like just, you know, no emotional immediate reactivity.
Oh, that's smart. Okay. Yeah. So basically your advice is avoid it if you can, but if you have to, just find a way to make sure the communication works and you're not doing things that you hate together.
So yeah.
I got it right. Yeah. And what you said about open relationships is also interesting because I've had quite a few open relationships, which have all, you know, died in a fiery mess. Why is it that having that amazing sexual connection is so paramount? I mean, I can guess, but I'm curious what.
Well, because it's what they want, you know. Like for women, romance is number one. They're usually like a woman's sense of self-value, at least at the ego level. You know, at the being level, it's being and presence and, you know, sort of beyond masculine, feminine. But at an ego level, you know, they're very concerned with their attractiveness and they're very interested in romance and sex. So it's of paramount importance because it's just giving them what they want. You know, they're the ones with the appetite. Like a female lion goes into heat, a male lion sniffs that out, crosses the jungle, gives her what she wants. You know, that's the basic masculine-feminine dynamic at a sort of biological kind of elementary level where our difference, you know, is most pronounced. So, you know, and then, you know, for example, you know, I have all kinds of personality and perfections and quirks and all the rest of that kind of stuff, but having my wife in a state of extended orgasm every morning, it's like living in a state of grace. It's like, I can't do anything wrong. You know, it's like, I've got like a big sort of, you know, band of forgiveness kind of available, you know, to me. Guys love sex, obviously, but it's not hardwired for us the same way. The sex drive originates in the female, you know. They go into heat. They go into heat around ovulation. They go into heat before menstruation. They go into heat in the spring. They go into heat in the fall. They go into heat when they're around other turned on women. They also have big brains. You know, all humans have big brains, so they can go into heat volitionally at will. But it, you know, it starts with them. So it's really giving her what she wants. Males, on the other hand, are, you know, interested in sex, obviously, but it doesn't originate with us. And we're very, you know, a man will often evaluate his sense of worth, or at least at an ego level, based on his level of success or accomplishment.
Sure.
So, you know, that one, you know, it's, and the relationship romance is kind of in her domain. So it's, you know, that's you, the woman, it's, you know, it's like that old Chinese proverb, happy wife, happy life, you know. And in terms of open relationships, you know, when I started all this, I had two girlfriends, king size bed, we're all sleeping together, crazy life, you know, I'm 25, you know, and it's just, you know, leading groups and it's just, you know, it's just off the hook. But what worked is giving the my main squeeze everything that she wanted. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because when most people open up relationships, especially guys, it's like, all right, I'm going to give half to you and half to you. And like, that doesn't work. You know, it's got to be, I'm giving everything to you and more. And the woman is so blown away that she doesn't mind parking her guy with another woman. Mm-hmm. So that's the formula that works. But that's challenging, because that's going to put, you know, as human beings, we're kind of, you know, the ego is kind of greedy and it's kind of wants what it wants and all the rest of this kind of stuff. Rarely are we, you know, it's like meditation, you know, being totally surrendered, totally open, giving everything and then more, you know. And when you do that, you have a lot of power, you know, and there's a certain masculine power that arises in that. It's, you know, it's no longer the war of the sexes. She's getting everything she wants. She has the woman power. Nowadays, guys are trying to get the woman power. Women are trying to get the guy power. It's kind of ridiculous, totally. You know, but she's got that. And then there's an upswell of masculine power that comes there, you know, and then, you know, then a guy can say, oh, hey, you know, like, hey, I saw this girl flirting with you, honey, you know, like you like her. And, you know, if she's getting everything she wants, you might be like, oh, yeah, she's kind of cute, you know. So it starts to move, instead of the guy being sort of manipulative or strategical about it, or, you know, like, a, I don't know, a pimp or something.
Right. So how do you figure out, you know, what she wants, or how do you figure out, you know, exactly, can you ask her? Or
yeah,
there's some stuff you got to figure out, you know. Presence, I'm sure, is a big one, which a lot of guys need to cultivate,
right? Yeah. Well, we're going to do a class on that in a few weeks. Our main class is Mastery of Relationship. It's our weekly class, and we're going to do a session called the Female Decoder Ring. And it's exactly on that topic, but I'll give you a couple of bits of it now. There's two ways. The first way is what you said, which is just ask her, you know, because she'll volunteer a certain amount of it. Women are loath to say that they're sex maniacs, you know, and they also have, and they're sex maniacs. That doesn't mean like they're always a yes. It means just that they're really, really interested. They also have a lot of, you know, resistance at the same time. So it's kind of a two-sided thing. So to ask her, and you'll find out things like mixtapes and sushi and, you know, kitchen knives, or, you know, whatever, like at that level. And it's good to know that. That's priceless information. But then also to have what we call X-ray vision. It's kind of the female decoder ring. To the presence, the reason you said presence, I love that you said that, Robbie, because presence is so important, because then you get X-ray vision. You can read her mind. You can find out what she wants. And really, you know, to bottom line it, it's sex, food, and baubles. Like, women want romance. That's a top for them. They'd rather have a great romantic life and live in a box on the side of the road than have an amazing mansion and their romantic life sucks.
Sure.
At the deepest level. Now, they can have conditioning that goes in a different direction. There's multiple things going on. But at the deepest level, romance, and then food is like food and shelter and a house and all the rest of that. And then baubles is like diamond rings, or living in a mansion instead of a house, or having a, you know, Tesla Model S versus a Civic, Honda Civic, or something like that. So to just kind of pay enough attention to her to see that and know that. And that's what women really want. They really want to, you know, they want the guys to be present. Yeah, they're attracted to that. But then the reason they're attracted to that is because then he has his attention on her. And that's what the feminine really likes. The feminine, like, absorbs attention. I can handle one or two compliments and then that's enough. I don't want any more compliments. You know, a woman, a really feminine woman, like, you, she can just draw in, you know, the attention, yeah, and the compliments. You know?
It could take a lot more. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, one compliment, acknowledgement, I'm good. But
yeah,
I mean, as you're describing it, it's like, you know, it's a lot of work to give one woman what she wants. So if you do have an open relationship or you have multiple partners, that's a full-time job, I think.
That's right. That's a good way. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Guys, if you want that, you know, just, you got a lot of time and a lot of resources, I think. So
yeah, put everything into it. You know, that's why it's good that you're doing what you're doing, Robbie, because you're following your heart, what you're really interested in. That's gonna, you know, that's gonna pay off in the long run.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm just curious, so that curiosity leads me to all this stuff. So, Erwan, thanks so much for coming on. How can people find out more about you, the stuff you guys offer? Tell us how we can get more.
Yeah, great. I will. So for folks who are interested in learning more about working with us, which is working with me, Erwan Davon, or working with Alicia Davon, or us as a couple, whether it's a class or individual coaching, what we recommend is a love life consultation with Alicia, who's my wife. And it's a one-on-one conversation done by Zoom, and she can really get into the nitty-gritty of your personal life, your romantic life, whether you're single or coupled. And, that session will shine a light on what's going on and create a possibility for the future of that relationship or getting into that relationship, the challenges, the goals, the places you want it to be better. And you'll really get a woman's perspective on what works. Now, if it looks like we can support you further than that, what we'll do is introduce our programs. The top ones are Mastery of Relationship. It's a weekly class. It's a lot of fun. There's guided meditation and a topic like the female decoder ring. Then people go into breakout rooms and do an exercise, then question and answer, or individual coaching. Most people do some combination of the two. And you can set up the love life consultation with Alicia by texting the Erwan Davon Teachings phone number, which is 415-308-9580. I'll say that again. It's 415-308-9580. And that'll be in the show notes for Robbie's podcast. And you can also click the link in the show notes, which will link you to some place to set that up. And if you do that, you'll also get a free video, which is the 5 keys to getting into and sustaining a successful relationship. It's our whole method boiled down to about 15 minutes. It's priceless. So you'll get that when you set up a consultation. And our website is www.pleasurecourse.com. Pleasurecourse.com.
Yeah, guys, check that out. I'm going to be going over and grabbing that, the 5 keys you said. As I mentioned, man, thanks so much for coming on, Erwan. It's been great. I love the wisdom you've been able to share here.
I appreciate you having me, Robbie, and you've been a pleasure to talk to. You have great energy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.